On Thursday mornings, Jim leads the men's Bible study. And this last Thursday, we were looking at Matthew 19, the story where a man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, probably a lot of people have had that kind of question, you know, sort of, how do I get to heaven is a lot of times how we tend to frame that question. But what Jesus is able to see through with this young man is that he's stumbled into one of the great traditional adventures in missing the point. That God's purpose is just for us to do all of the right things that he wants us to do, and then if we rack up enough points by doing those things, then he's got to pay us back in the end in a good way. And so that tends to be the way we think when we think religiously rather than thinking relationally about how we interact with God. The interesting thing in that story is Jesus rattles off to him several of the Ten Commandments, you know, do this, don't do that, don't do that. And then he finishes with the great guide for all of us in faith is love your neighbor as yourself. And then the guy says the most interesting thing, I think. He says, I've done all that since I was a little kid. And what I want to go is, okay, I can imagine that he's kept those several of the Ten Commandments. Those aren't all too hard. But then how do you know when you've loved your neighbor as yourself? How do you know that? That's a great eternal question. Sometimes the simple rules are easy to know, yes or no, did I keep it, did I break it? But how do you know when you fulfilled the law to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, that really, right there, as Jesus would teach us, is the essence about this new relationship with God that Jesus is offering to us through himself. That's really what it's all about, is learning to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and learning to love our neighbor as ourself. And at the heart of this passage from Micah is really the essence of what it means, not just to love your neighbor as yourself, but what the posture of our heart should be if we want to become people who love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this passage starts out with this great kind of universal scope. It says, stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He's lodging a charge against Israel. Interesting that what Micah is pointing to is the fact that whatever it is that's unjust or not right in the way that the people of Israel are living, it doesn't just affect themselves. It seems to affect the whole cosmos. Do you ever think about that? That your choices, your actions probably have a wider impact than you realize? And if we as the church are in a place where we choose either to do the wrong things or choose to ignore the good things that God wants us to do, that will have a negative impact universally. On the other hand, it's also true, this is the good news, that when we do obey the Lord and do the work of his kingdom, it doesn't just benefit us. It's like that yeast that Jesus will talk about worked into the lump of dough, and it spreads all over and grows into something beautiful. So it is really interesting that God is challenging the people of Israel not just to think about themselves, but how their actions affect everything in God's creation. Then he goes on to talk about really the ways God has blessed his people. First, he talks about how he rescued them from slavery in Egypt, right? Pretty basic understanding of what it is to be a good Israelite is to be a person who grasps the truth of the Exodus. And what is the truth of the Exodus? The truth of the Exodus is God loves his people. And whenever they are in trouble, he is there to rescue them, not just to bring them out of trouble, but to bring them to a promised land, to bring them to a fulfillment of life that is greater than what they ever would have imagined. That's what God wants to do for all of us. He wants to set us free from whatever it is that binds us, and he wants us to live in the abundance of life that he has designed for us. But if we fall into this idea of, okay, how we get to God, how we get to experience his blessings is by doing good stuff and not doing bad stuff, in other words, kind of a point system, we will miss the point of the bigger plan that God has. And that's why here, even God speaking through the prophet says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? And then he goes on into all of these sacrifices. In other words, do you guys have the idea that if you just make a lot of sacrifices, that if you do particular religious duties, that if you do more good things than you do bad things, if you in fact make yourself suffer, will that somehow be something that gives you new life in itself? That God will be happy with you because you made those sacrifices? The prophet Micah here, I think, is really pointing to the fact of we can't buy off God. We not only can't earn our salvation, but we also can't trick God into giving us all the stuff that we want. You see, that's the problem for the people of Israel. That's the problem for the young man that came to Jesus, is their bottom line desire was, how do I take care of me? How do I get my needs met? How do I prevent bad things from happening to me and make good things happen to me? The adventure in missing the point for the young man was that he thought that life was all about how do I get what I want from God? Rather than saying, how do I experience the fullness of relationship with God and participate in all of the good that God wants to do in the world, in fact, in the whole universe. And that's when we get to our memory verse of the day, the last verse. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, those things, in a way, are kind of like the commandment about loving your neighbor as yourself. Because none of those things are things that at the end of the day you can check off something really specific and know that you've got it done. When do you know that you've acted completely justly? Right? What does it mean to love mercy and goodness? What does it mean to walk humbly with our God? Our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, has a whole department of around, built around compassion, mercy, and justice. Compassion, mercy, and justice. Those ideas come right here, right out of Micah 6:8. And they're reflected all the way through the ministry of Jesus. People who act justly are people who are committed that when we see the things that are wrong in the world, we want to make those things right. Those things that destroy people and harm our relationship with God, we want to find a way to heal them so that people experience God's shalom. As people of mercy, now, here's the tricky thing about mercy. Mercy and grace really go together. And the problem, I think, is when we look at mercy or grace, so often we see it as a free pass. That the idea behind grace is, I really screwed up, but God says, yeah, let's just pretend like it didn't happen. Well, that's true in the sense that God washes it away, as the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. But you see, once again, there's kind of a selfish motivation there. I did something bad, and I want God to just pretend like it never happened. But you see, there's something different about God's grace. There's something different about mercy. When God gives mercy, you can start from Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. When God gives mercy, it's not just to give everybody a free pass, to pretend like it didn't happen. When God gives mercy, it's designed to transform us, to help make us a different person tomorrow than we are today. God's in the transforming business. The grace that we receive at the cross is not because Jesus wants to say, you know what, I know you're all bad, and let's just pretend like the bad isn't there, and let's just go on ignoring it. No, the grace of the cross is to transform you and me so that we can be more like Jesus. The sacrifice he's making on the cross is not only saving us from our sins, but it's also teaching us what it means to love our neighbor as ourself, to give of ourself sacrificially. In essence, that's what Jesus said to the young man. He said, you want to be perfect? Here's what you do. Sell everything you have, give it away to the poor, and come follow me. Yes, Lord. That was like a heavenly amen, I guess. Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Everything that Jesus is asking of this moment means letting go of something. He's saying, drop all of the stuff. Drop everything that you're clinging on to try to earn your own way, make your own way, or just to take care of me. Drop it and follow me. Let go of it. Follow me. That's the essence of it. Because Jesus is the one who loves his neighbor fully as himself. And if we want to learn to do the same thing, we're going to follow Jesus. And if we do so, what we're going to find is we start becoming people of justice. We say, I want to stand up for what is right and true. We become people of mercy. We give people grace. We pour grace into people's lives, not just to pretend like there's no bad there, but in the process of letting God's Holy Spirit transform lives that are really hurting and need help. And finally, to walk humbly before our God. Who's more humble than Jesus? Now, I know some of you are probably going, well, you know, I remember that story with him with the whip in the temple. That didn't seem particularly humble. Probably not. However, it was just. In that moment, Jesus was reflecting the justice of God because of the people who were using their power to oppress other people. His justice came out in the name of his compassion for those who were suffering. Even in Jesus' justice, he is merciful and he is compassionate. When we go into our class and discussion time today, we're going to dig a little deeper in what does it mean to be people of compassion and mercy and justice? Not simply as one little program of our church, but for compassion, mercy, and justice to be what flows from the heart of every person and our whole congregation together, so that we might show ourselves to be more like Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a God of compassion and mercy and justice. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us to reflect your goodness. You've brought us forgiveness of sins. You've brought us healing of our woundedness. You've empowered us with the Holy Spirit to do the ministry of your kingdom in this world. And Lord, we just pray that we will have a heart that is more and more like Jesus each day, one that is compassionate, one that is merciful, and one that is just. Lord, I pray that that would be true of each of us, and it would be true of us as a church, Lord, that we might reflect your glory in a hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen.